verse together, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Last week we began to speak about, and the title of this series is Show Us, is to in Whom Do You Believe? But the topic of this morning's message is Show Us the Father. Show Us the Father. So last week we began to talk about who are we to believe? Because this is the foundation of your faith. This is the beginning point of who you believe. You know, Jesus said, and we went over this last week, Jesus said your father is your foundation, essentially, for what you believe is either Father God or the devil. You say, but I'm a Christian. Well, you know, you can be a believer and still have a foundation of demonic thought, demonic activity. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're unsaved. It just means you haven't renewed your mind yet. You don't know to whom you belong. The Pharisees told Jesus, he says, we are of our Father. The first test he laid out to discern who you believe is number one, what do you do with Jesus? The second test is, what do you do with the devil? Do you tolerate him? Do you follow him? Do you put up with him? You know, what do you do with the devil? The third test is, what do you do with the truth? And the question we asked last week, what do you do with inconvenient truth? With truth that doesn't fit your parameters, with truth that doesn't fit what you've accepted to believe. And I used a comment last week, and I didn't have this in my notes, but it just came out. It says, I was Christian when I got saved. I was a church attender when I got born again. See, but I didn't know in whom I believed. I believed doctrine. I believed these different things, but I didn't know in who I believed. And so I really wasn't saved again, although I was, quote, living a good church life. Okay? It says, Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Isn't that curious? If you believe in Jesus, Jesus is saying, you're really not believing in me, you're believing in the one who sent me. And we all understand God the Father is the one who sent Jesus. But that's the obvious question, isn't it? Well, who sent Jesus? If when we believe in Jesus Christ, that we're actually believing in the one who sent him, because Jesus is a fulfilled promise to us from the Father. So to believe in Jesus, I'm actually believing in something bigger than Jesus. I'm believing in the one who sent Jesus. And this is a crucial question. This is different from believing a doctrine. A doctrine is only as good as the one who establishes the doctrine. Because the doctrine reveals the nature of the one who gives it. See, in church denominations, so often they're messed up because the doctrine has been written by man instead of God. So their doctrine is, you know, that we do it this way. It's curious on moral questions. A lot of denominations do not go to the Bible. They go to their doctrine. They go to their book of discipline. They go to the way we have historically done it, but they don't refer to the Bible. Why? Because they believe more in their doctrine than they do the scripture or the word of God. Now, why is that? Well, their foundation is not of God. Oh, do you dare say that? Well, I guess I just did. But this is what I'm talking about of questioning the foundation, because who you believe establishes the foundation of everything that proceeds out from your belief. Listen, Jesus gave us the principle in Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I say that doctrine comes out of your foundation, that the doctrine is only as good as the person who gives it. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So our doctrine comes out of the abundance that's in our heart. And if your heart is wrong, you're going to wind up with wrong doctrine. Hello. You know, you say, well, I want to do what's right. But if the heart is messed up, if your heart doesn't know what foundation you're established on, you're going to make doctrine on a false foundation or a shaky foundation because your doctrine is not based in truth of who God is. It's based on other things. And your doctrine's going to get messed up. And the further you go, the more doctrine you add, the more of excuses you add, and pretty soon you don't even recognize who you started out to believe in. I could give some examples of that, but I'm not going to for sake of time. But let me say this. There is no list of doctrine to believe. Yet what we are to believe, to trust in, to rely upon, is found throughout the scriptures. But if you want to sit down as a list, what as a Christian am I to believe? You will not find a list. It just doesn't exist. But it's all through the scriptures. It's like if you took away the healing verses out of the Bible, healing is so encoded into the scripture that you can't get rid of it. Because God's name is, I am the Lord thy God that heals you. So if you take out all the healing verses, you're still stuck with the name of God. Now what are you going to do with that? Well, we just don't believe in that name anymore. Oh, see, and this is what we've done with our doctrine. We have taken us away from the Word of God to where when we read the Bible, we don't even hear what the Bible is saying because we've gotten so far away from Scripture into the doctrine of men that our traditions make the Word of God of no effect. I think there's a man by the name of Jesus that said that. So I'm on good ground on that. See, like Israel, we would rather have a law or a set of doctrine that we can recite to become religious. God offered Israel, says, you can know me. I'll talk to you like I'm talking to Moses. And you know what they said? No. No, God, you talk to Moses, and whatever you tell him, we'll do. Well, if you're not going to listen to God, you're not going to listen to Moses. Seriously. If you're not going to talk with the one or have a relationship with the God who's talking to Moses, why are you going to listen to Moses? And almost immediately they said, well, who set you over everybody else? And their real question was, we reject the God who has anointed you and appointed you and has displayed himself through you. We reject that God because we think we are equal with God and our voices should have the same equality as God. It's like, no, you don't. That's what the devil tried to do, and he was kicked out of heaven. No wonder we're in such a mess. See, in John 5:39, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. He said, you're looking at the scripture, and we do this as charismatics. We do this as word of faith people. We do this as believers, as Pentecostals. We do this at all. We search the scriptures thinking that if we get the right scripture, we will have eternal life. And Jesus, listen now, Jesus is pointing us beyond the scripture. I'm not being heretical here. He's pointing us beyond the scripture because the scriptures reveal who Jesus is. So just believing in the scripture does not necessarily connect you with God if you can't see Jesus in the scripture. But you can quote the scripture, well, I believe this, I believe that. But if you don't see Jesus in it, then how much can you really believe the scripture? You can recite it, you can quote it, you can point it out. But without a living relationship with Jesus, you're not going to understand the scripture. Amen. So Jesus is saying these things. Now go with me to John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. And this is real, real important here. But because we're going to keep coming back to this off and on through the message. But John chapter 14, 8 and 9, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. and it is sufficient for us. All we need is show us the Father. That's all we're asking for. Isn't that simple? Just show us the Father. That'll answer all of our questions, Jesus. Just show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been with you so long? 3 years. 3 years, you ought to get this figured out. I tell people, and I kind of joke, but in 3 years as a believer sitting in church, you ought to be a lot further along than you are. Amen. So anyway, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? In other words, Philip, you don't even know who I am. You're asking me to show you the Father, and we've been together for 3 years. We've slept together. We've eaten together. You've watched me minister. You've ministered alongside me. You've cast out devils. You've raised the dead. You know, you've cleansed lepers. You've done all these things, Philip, and still you don't know who I am. Isn't that amazing? And then Jesus continues, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Philip, if you really knew who I was, if you really had understanding, you would not ask such a stupid question to show us the Father. Because if you knew who I am, you've seen the Father. You've seen the one greater than me. You've seen the one who has sent me. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. We need to understand that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And that's in Hebrews 1:3, the exact representation. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And yet we're still asking, well, show us more, show us more. Now, we ask that because we are not satisfied with what we have. And we're thinking if we could just get one more scripture, one more healing, one more miracle, then we can finally have all of our doubts resolved. Well, doubt will still come in until you realize what your foundation is, until you realize who Jesus is, and Jesus is the Father, is a representative of the Father to us. Now go with me to John 1. We'll start getting into the actual message now. John chapter 1, because when I read John the other day, I was just stunned at what is being said in this. And I could preach this from a lot of different angles, but I want to kind of narrow down this one viewpoint. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we know the Word is Jesus, don't we? We understand that. So here's Jesus. He's the Word. He's with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God. Now watch this. The person, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life. In the Word was life. Now, just to stay on that a little bit, the Word was in the beginning, was with God, and is God. The life that was in the Word comes from the Father. In him, in the Word that was spoken by God, in the things that was released by God, in them was life. So the life came from the Father into the Word. The life of God. Now see, this is really crucial to get a hold of this. In him was life. The Word wasn't life. The life was in the Word. The life, how do I say, I want to be real careful here that I don't get too controversial. But Jesus is the Father, and the life that is in Jesus comes from the Father. Now, we're not coming against the Trinity. We're just trying to lay a pattern here because we know Jesus as the one who came into the earth. So there was a little bit of a separation. When the Word is spoken, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, when the Word was spoken, what was in abundance in the heart of God came out. So the word carries the power and the essence of the one who spoke it. If I would stand at a corner and say, "Halt in the name of the law," people would laugh. Because I don't have any authority. The law doesn't give me any authority. But if I've got a policeman's uniform on, say, "Halt in the name of the law," now I've got the power to enforce it. So the power isn't inherent in me, it's in the one who commissioned me. Okay? So in him was life. So verse 4 continues, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The life that was in the Word is light to us, or revelation to us, and the light shines in the darkness. Excuse me. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it, depending on what translation you read. But the darkness could not stop it. The darkness could not squelch it. The darkness could not understand what was going on, because the darkness was focused on the person of Jesus and not the one who sent Jesus, which was the Father. The Word, I want us to get this, the Word is Jesus and is inseparable from God. If you talk about Jesus, you cannot talk about him without talking about the Father. If you talk about the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, Rhema or Logos, when you talk about that, you cannot separate from the one who spoke it, which is God. That's why when people say, "Well, you can't believe all the Bible." What part can't you believe? "Well, some of it's historical." Yes, we know that. Or there's errors in the Bible, because here it says that this tribe had so many thousands of men, and this section of the Bible says gets it down to the individual number of men. They're not in disagreement. They're written for different purposes. They've not yet found an error in Scripture. They have in those who interpret it. Okay, they've messed up a whole bunch, and I can point that out to you. But if you go to the Greek or the Hebrew, it's right. It's man. We mess it up, and we want to blame God. Well, God's not consistent. Well, God is consistent. We're the ones that are not. Amen. So the Word is inseparable from God. Now go with me to John chapter 1. I'm going to just keep reading 6 through 8. He says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." Now John, well, let me keep reading. "He," John, "was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." John was only a witness. John was only saying, okay, he's the light, he's the Son of God, he's the Lamb of God. He's the light from the Father into the earth that we can believe. And so John was pointing to Jesus so that we could understand who the Father was, because of the foundation that Jesus is establishing in us. Now, the witness was sent to bear light, but the light that John is really bearing witness to is not the light of Jesus, it's the light of God in Christ. Again, if you go back to verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So when he says Jesus has the light, we're getting into a real Bible lesson here. But when he says Jesus is the light is from the Father, because the light comes from the life that God the Father gave to Jesus. And remember, Jesus laid all that aside. We won't go into that, but he laid that aside, and he prays in the garden to the Father. He said, "Lord, restore me to the former glory I had with you." So he knew where he came from and where he was going to. So we must understand that this light is more than Jesus' person in the earth. This light is more than what Jesus preached. This light is more than what we have recorded of Christ. Now, in some circles, that might get me into a lot of trouble. But if you think that this book has everything in it you ever need to know about God, you are messed up. Let me just say it easy, frankly. Because this Bible shows us God, but you've got to get beyond the words to get into the Spirit. It was spirit breathed by the Spirit of God to us, but there's if you limit yourself to this, you're going to get into doctrine, you're going to get into all this other stuff, and you'll miss God. That's what the Pharisees did. They missed God. Let me go on. John 17:3, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." How can you know God if you reject His Son? That's essentially what Jesus is saying. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you." And He adds, "and Jesus Christ." That's always kind of confused me. And a lot of Bible scholars will tell you, well, that was added later. I don't think it was. I think Jesus said that. "This is eternal life, that they may know you," know God, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Why? Because if you're going to understand who the Father is, you've got to understand who Jesus the Messiah is. Jesus is not trying to lift Him up. He's saying, if you don't get who I am, you'll never get to understand who God is, because He's the one that sent me. He's the one. Oh man, we'll get into this in the future. We'll get into more verses. But Jesus said, I've come to reveal the Father to you. I only speak what He speaks. I only do what I see Him do. So He's that exact representation of the Father to us. Why? That you may know God. And He's saying that here in John 17:3. This is eternal life. It's not knowing the scriptures about God. It's knowing God. It's not knowing the right doctrine. It's about knowing who God is. And I tell you, if you get a right relationship with God, you are not going to be worried about whether you're crossing every T and dotting every I of doctrine. Because God is bigger than your doctrine. Doctrine is meant as a guide. And instead of a guide, it's become something that you can't cross. And so now we get into sin if we violate the doctrine. But if you don't know who God is, then the doctrine is just, like I said earlier, the doctrine is not any better than the person who gave it. And if God didn't give the doctrine, it's already on its way to being messed up. And you've got to know the God. You've got to know the one behind the doctrine. If all you knew about Jesus is what you found in the Bible, you do not know Jesus. Knowing God the Father is more than knowing doctrine or scripture. When an author writes a book, the book cannot contain everything that that author knows. It cannot let you know about what the author believes. The author is writing a book based on a theory, an idea, and he's laying that out. And in today's world, in 12 months, he'll have another book. Now, does that mean the first book is wrong? No. It just means he's got more than what the first book said. And so if you want to know the author, you can read the books. But if you know the author, you don't need to read the book because you already know what he's going to say. Hello? Now, I'm not telling you don't read Scripture, but I'm saying if you don't know God, you're going to read the Scripture and not understand it. But if you know God, you'll read the Scripture. Yeah, that's my daddy. That's who He is. I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Yeah, I know. That's just who He is. Daddy just likes to heal everybody. Daddy just likes to save people. But we parse it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, but that was written only to us special people. Well, who's a special people? You didn't get special till you believed on Him. You know? But we want to coach it. We want to, well, you know, this is only written to people that are outside of Asia, because we all know that they don't, you know, they worship ancestors. So this doesn't work for... No, it'll work for them. Well, this doesn't work outside of this. It's like the message of prosperity. You know, it's been preached for years. Prosperity doesn't work outside the United States of America. That's not true. I can take you to people in Haiti that are blessed and prosperous because they're believing the Word of God. I can take you to people in Africa blessed and prosperous because they believe in the Word of God. And people say, well, it doesn't work there. It works on their level. Listen, if you only raise chickens, prosperity is having more chickens than you know what to do with. What are they going to do with a Rolls Royce in Africa? I mean, seriously. You know, some people need to get a perspective on this stuff and understand the Word of God works because it's who God is. God wants to bless His children. And what we're saying in so many ways is, well, God only blesses, the Word of God only works in the United States of America. No, it doesn't. But there's a lot of people believe that. A lot of scholars believe that. You can't go and teach them these things. No, yes, you can. Why? Because the Word works. Well, why does the Word work? Because in the Word is life, and the life is the light of men. And if you get a hold of the foundation, our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? This is what's so awesome about God. And we limit Him because of our doctrine, because of our pre-understanding of Him that we bring to church, rather than letting the Word of God, letting Jesus, and letting God the Father talk to us. And I tell you, the root problem, I'm running out of time, the root problem we have is we don't know who the Father is. And so we're trying to understand Him by what Aunt Mary said, or Uncle Joe, or Aunt Thelma, or Grandpa Thaddeus that lived 200 years ago. And they didn't know any more about God than you do. Because the only way you can know God is to know God. Is that easy? Reading books about God doesn't, it's an introduction to the Father. It gives you an understanding. It begins to open things up. But you've got to put some of the scripture together. And you've got to go to the person of God. Who is Jesus telling us that the Father is? Jesus went about doing good and healing the sick. Well, who's that talking about? The Father. Well, I don't know if you're good enough for God to heal you. Whoa, where did that come from? Who told you that? Or in charismatic circles, well, you've got to really be close with God before He'll let you speak with other tongues. Oh, really? That worked for Cornelius, didn't it? He got saved, and Peter didn't know he was saved until 15 years later, when Cornelius had got his life right and the Holy Spirit came and baptized him. No, the day that Peter is witnessing to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell on him. And to Peter's amazement, how can we withhold baptism from him if God has already baptized him in His own Holy Spirit? See, it fractured his doctrine. His doctrine didn't allow for a Gentile to get the same promise that a Jew got. And God shattered that, and He had to shatter it in a hard way because He had to show, I am the same God for the Jew, Gentile. Anybody who believes on Me, the promises work for. It's not based on who they are. It's based on who I am, on who God is. And see, our doctrine will limit. We start separating people. Well, it'll work for this group, but not for that group. Well, why doesn't it work for that group? Probably because they don't believe. Because if they would believe, you know, Baptists didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit for years. Preached against it until some Baptists started getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then their eyes were open and said, well, I guess this is for Baptists. And now there's so many Spirit-filled Baptists, the Baptist Church has changed their doctrine and said, yeah, we accept it. We believe in it now. Well, you didn't 20 years ago. You kicked people out of the church. Oh, my. See, the problem is we don't know God. The Bible is an introduction to know the author of the Bible. The Bible gives us concepts about how God thinks. I'll close with one scripture. God has good plans for you. Jeremiah 1:12, I think it is. Let me go to that real quick. It's not 1:12. But it says, I have plans for you. Where is that scripture real quick? Jeremiah 29:11. I was close. I had the right book. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, does that sound like God? Yeah. When I feel so bad about myself, God says, "I haven't quit on you yet. I've got thoughts of peace and good things for you. I've got a future for you, and I've got a hope from you." And some will say, "Well, God doesn't do that for everybody." Yes, he does. But it's not working for me. It works for those who believe. It works for those who believe. See, God is the same toward all people. He doesn't pick and choose. We choose him or reject him. This is the reality of the gospel of God. You know, if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to ask him into your heart, that you could know who God is. This isn't a figment of our imagination. This isn't something that we're making up. This is not something that we're just saying, "Well, this sounds good. We'll just go with it." What we know about God, we've experienced. We've lived through a lot of these things. And God is good. And he's good to us all the time. If you haven't given your heart to God, or maybe you've only given part of your heart, you need to give your whole heart. You need to trust God with your life, because he'll pull you through. He'll set you on top. He'll make you more than a world conqueror, more than a world overcomer, because that's the nature of our daddy. This is who he is. This is why we can trust him, is that we know that God is for us and not against us. This is the power of the gospel to change our life. No matter where we are, there's a future and there's a hope for us. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us to know who you are. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, who is our Savior, who is our Deliverer, who is the one in whom we believe. But Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus among us, that through him we could know your love. We can know who you are and what the plans are that you have for us. And God, we worship you for this and we praise you for this. Father, for those that have invited Jesus into their heart, Lord, that they would know that they're born again, that they're saved, that they're delivered, that their past is gone, and that all things have become new for them. Father, let this become a reality in all of our lives, that we would walk with you for the rest of our days, and with you, Father, know what real glory is like. We praise you and we worship you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you.